Hey boys, do you like them big? Do you like them wet? Well, if it's hot musky action you're looking for, you need to check out OnlyFans. We have the hottest musky anglers looking to get your net wet.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 Podcast. Jay, how much cash are you making on your OnlyFans account? You making a lot of cash?
Coming in big time.
Coming in big time. I'll tell you what. I'm not afraid to show it all, boys. Yes. King of the 3-inch slammer. That's me. So, anyway, Jay.
Sorry. OnlyFans account.
OnlyFans.
Great idea.
You want to log in. Jay will do anything for money. You tell him what you want. Log into OnlyFans. Tell Jay what you want to see. Jay, I know from Jody Michael and you and everybody, Musky Shop's been getting a bunch of stuff in, like in anticipating the season. I know there's a couple new things, but what's been like restocked in the store in the last week? I know you guys have been pounded with trucks. What's going on?
Pounded with trucks. What's not been restocked yet? Yeah. Virtually every manufacturer has dropped off. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's still a few companies that are
been pounded.
Really, really struggling that, you know, have gone from like 2 years ago or pre-COVID, you know, they were like 2-day delivery, three days. They're at 3 months right now.
Woojo,
I don't want to name names, but it's, you know, some bigger companies. But for the most part, most of the shops in great shape for stock. You know, we're thoroughly pleased right now. We didn't know if this was, you know, we've been kind of sweating it out this year because all the warning signs we've been hearing left and right has been, it's going to be bad. You know, I can't get blades. I can't get hooks. I can't get help.
Right.
Stuff's stuck in a transit container in the port of, you know, San Diego.
Right. Oh, come on.
San Diego. Sure. But for the most part, yeah, we got a ton of stuff in this week, but I mean, we get stuff in every day. It's just some days are a lot heavier than others.
The one thing that showed up from my homeboys there at Livingston is that new Pro Ripper.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's the Magnum Pro Ripper. It is small bait. It is a great post-spawn musky bait and a really good walleye bait too. Which is
it's designed kind of like in the bass walleye market. It's a smaller bait, but the design is quite popular. Livingston's got the EBS technology like they do in everything.
Boop, boop, boop.
It's they super talk hot. I've been hearing about it. They were delayed getting here, but yeah, those just came in today. They're up on the website.
Yeah. They got them bleeps and the bloops and the bloops and the bleeps. Anyway, other than that, the other thing that is the Wreckin' Rack, right?
Yeah. It's a new bump board. It's a new bump board that obviously is legit for tournaments. So it's a 60-incher. It floats. It folds.
Mm.
It's a very popular design. You've seen the overall structure of it before. It doesn't remove slime.
Jay, what doesn't it do?
It's got a material that doesn't remove slime, so that's healthy for the fish.
Slime-free.
Slime-proof.
Slime-proof. So if you need a bump board to wreck and wreck. Other than that, we're a day late because I'm a jerk. Out filming for the show yesterday.
The show? What show is that,
What
Steve?
Show is that? Musky Shop TV.
June 1st. When's it coming out? Do you remember?
June Timber.
It's coming out in a month. It's
in
scary.
A month.
It's June in a month. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. I can believe I'm sunburned already, which is Suckfest 87.
Got some warm weather. We've got the big fishing opener in basically a day here. Ooh. General Wisconsin fishing openers this weekend. And for all the people in the southern half of the state, musky opener. A lot of people have been waiting a long time for that. It's going to be good.
So you got
They've had some warm weather in the southern part of the state, just like you lately.
Dude, it's been hot.
Not us up here in northern Wisconsin, but southern Wisconsin's been nice.
There's snow at the supper club, he says.
We had snow earlier this week.
Oh, God. If there was snow in April here, I would suck the bluing off my shotgun. I mean, there ain't nothing for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully it's the last one.
Your guys' main export is like cheese and clinical depression, right? Zoloft.
Cheese running rampant.
Zoloft would be out of business if it wasn't for the Northwoods. Anyway, geez. Man, anyways, I've just been slammed here, folks. We've been just busier than heck, and goodness, what else? Oh, tons of new listeners. So, folks, if you don't know, do you know where you're at, Jay?
You're in Muskie Country.
You're in Muskie Country. Anyway.
America!
America!
Right there, no.
Video game. Time to play the game. Anyway,
Muskie Country is one heck of a video game you can play for free.
If you don't know, it's in the My360 part of the app, or you can download the standalone for free. Muskie Country. Sorry.
You too can play with a miniaturized version of Steve Paul.
You can play with a tiny me.
Joe Booker.
Tiny Joe Booker.
Even the guru.
Even the guru. You can spend your musky shekels with Jay at the Musky Shop.
That's true.
So, got that going on. Anyway, check it out. Been getting emails about it. We'll run a contest at some point who's got the biggest fish, but I know a lot of guys have been having fun with it. And I hate to mention, it's not like a shameless plug, but we worked our guts out to get that game done. If you haven't downloaded it yet, download Muskie Country.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay, on to important things, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had a contest on the most epic Muskie music video of all time. Welcome to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, came out last week.
Came out last week. This song deals with my cheese addiction, Jay's emotional problems. It really just touches on everything that means a lot to us, right? Jim's aggression to headlocks. He just wants to beat him with these drumsticks. It just really touches a lot of notes. Heck, you know what? As a certain commenter put it, the chilling thumbs up Elmer gave Culver's. You know,
you haven't seen it. It is a hard hit
magnum opus.
Original. Well, it's
original cover.
Yeah, it's an original cover. Yeah, original music.
Well, Guns N' Roses ripped us off.
Yeah, very similar to a Guns N' Roses song, but with a twist, with a Wisconsin twist, I might add.
Mm-hmm. So, if you haven't seen it, get there. But what I want to get it to is this. I was Pepsicated and talked you into giving a Matlock away, right?
Yep.
So I don't want to look at these comments.
Some great comments around here.
There's some amazing comments, right? Rock out with your cheese out, Nick. Welcome to Wisconsin where we load the toad with Jordan. I appreciate that. I'm going to give a thumbs up on that. William Brasky. Oh, it's our old friend. Jay, it's our old friend, Bill Brasky. Bill Brasky. I saw MSB, Musky Shop Boys, do an acoustic supper club show. Elmer was working the stage door, and I was lost in the music. He gave me a free concert tee and asked, you know where a cabbage dragon might find the weed bed around here? I pointed towards the Madison chain and walked away.
How about Bob's comment here? This is, I like this one. The punky rawness of their sound and the pained artistry of their lyrics bridge the gap between heavy rock and the great outdoors. Rolling Stone magazine. Splashes raw guitar style drives their music home like Chaz Martin setting the hook on a 24-inch bike. Variety magazine. What's with those guys' hair? Joe Booker Outdoors.
Joe Booker Outdoors. I like this one from Maz Charton. Maz Charton. Maz Charton.
I get it.
That just hit me. Hold on. I had some really cool dudes come down from Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're going to be doing some hardcore figure eights. You better have your Chaz Martins on. Because he gets so low, he apparently is endorsed by Unrippable Pants. So that's a pair of Chaz Martins there. Anyway,
It sounds like a clothing line. Chaz.
Mass Charting says, I overdosed on cheese once. I didn't pass out, but a week later, I literally burnt a brick. Ever since my have sound. Ever since my have made no sound. I can't read the rest of this. Oh, man. Okay.
Well, Jay Oakley says, awesome. One flaw, the drummer has two arms.
Ooh, that's harsh.
It's good. Kind of based on that 80s, you know, stupid metal.
Well, it's that Death Leopard, the dude, like, lost his arm in a cocaine accident or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he rolled a car in a field or something.
Cocaine. Anyway, Isaiah says, Matlock repeatedly. Okay.
James like Hackney. From go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go for it.
It's from Musky Slayer Outdoors. Today I, James Hetfield II, would like to induct the Musky Shop into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Elmer, Jim, Steve, Tom, and last but not least, Jay, would you stand up and accept your awards? The band, they then stood up, accepted their awards, and were showered with a standing ovation and lived happily ever after, other than the tragic meth problem of Elmer. Picking on Elmer, it's terrible.
It's low-hanging fruit.
Oh, boy. Oh, Stephen Paul, he does it all.
Oh. My goodness, man. There's so many.
I don't know about that.
Don't do enough. No. He's lazy. Oh, my goodness. There's so many. There's a few of these that are so funny. I'm just can't really even read them on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, yeah, we got to pick one here.
My money is on William Brasky.
William Brasky. Okay.
Or Bob.
There's Maz Charting.
Maz Charting's good. Can't read the whole thing.
Ben Stone. Ben Stone Fishing. YouTuber. I'm a fan. This is perfection in its finest form.
Although, I got to tell you this, dude.
Thanks, Ben.
Isaiah Bettinger, Elmer's thumbs up at Culver's sent chills down my spine. Done. Winner. You win. My opinion, Isaiah wins. That genuinely, when I first saw that comment, I did laugh out loud. What do you think? Is it William Brasky or is Isaiah or Maz Charting?
Oh, man. Wish we had several to do. I'm with you. You know, sorry, everybody else. Isaiah, I did laugh immediately when I saw it. It was short, sweet, to the point.
And just ridiculous.
Because
Elmer gives you like the sad thumbs up wearing his wig. He's trying his best.
I watched it to look for that. I couldn't remember it.
Elmer's like, what are we doing here? Are we going in to get onion rings later? Why am I in a wig? They don't pay me enough for this.
Hey, what about that video that woman sent in?
Oh, hold on. Well, let's check that in a second. Isaiah, call Musky Shop, ask for Fred Palmero, right?
No, don't do that.
Call and ask for Fred. Talk mad crap to him, right?
Yeah.
Just to start a flame war with him. Be like, listen, you piece of... I'm driving up. Listen. Is this calling? But bring, hold on. Pretend you're Fred. I'll be Isaiah. All right, Jay, you ready?
Yeah.
Bring.
Hi, this is Fred from the Musky Shop. May I help you?
Oh, this is Fred. Just who I wanted to talk to. Are you the guy that sold me that dead sucker? I'm coming up there to beat the living shit out of you. I'm coming. You listen. You come out in the parking lot. You're mine.
So I really don't think that he sold you a dead sucker.
I'm going to beat you with a tire iron in the parking lot.
I've been crappie fishing all day. How could I have sold you a dead sucker?
That's Isaiah. Just call up there. You'll win all the Matlocks. I'm teasing.
Just email us, Isaiah. We'll take care of you.
Get up there. Get you a Matlock, son. Some of these, man. Maz Charting. God bless you. Bob, that's the tough one, dude. The one where he's doing the fake reviews is harsh. That's like really hard. Bob Kleinworth, it is hard for me to say. Like, Isaiah got it done with like the quip. He hit me with the Monty Python one-liner.
Yeah, kind of like less is more.
Less is more. Splash, we've already ripped that off for another joke we're working on. So Splash is raw guitar style. We've got to give you just freaking awesome.
There's so many good ones and so many complimentary ones.
I'm really, really happy about it. I'll say this because I'm just rambling on or whatever, is when we do this dumb stuff, we're doing it because we want to make you laugh, and we hope that it does, because musky fishing sucks most days, and if you can't laugh at it, then it's lame, you know? If, like, you got a case of the little pee-pee disease and you have to be all serious, like, I'm musky fishing serious, I'm a serious musky angler. Like, do you wear a suit and tie on the boat? Are you a serious musky angler? Is it like you going out there with a briefcase? Shut up. Shut up. There's a guy one. He made a comment. I'm a serious musky angler. Oh, excuse me. Let me put on my Armani suit and go musky fishing. This is how serious it is. Hello, Jay. This is very serious. Be intense. How intense are you? Super intense. Intense, intense, intense. Shut up. I fish every day. Whatever. Moving on. Soapbox much? Anyway, guys, you guys cracked us up. All those comments were amazing. We appreciate the support there.
Yes, thank you all.
There is a follow-up coming for Welcome to Wisconsin.
Probably.
No, there is.
Okay.
Probably. Jay, yeah. I just made so much work for Jay. He's like, really?
Well, yeah. Yeah, don't even get me going. Yeah, I went out into the rain, got wet, filming up.
What kind of rain was it, Jay?
It was kind of a toad November rain.
Sometimes
it was like an early November
rain.
You
need some slime on your toad. Oh, everybody needs some slime on the toad. Anyway, God.
Don't you know you
need some slime? All right, first up, Jay, I'm a mess, dude. I've been on the boat so long today. I'm sorry. Jay struggles every week with, like, what level of stupid am I going to be? There is a lot of...
There's a scale.
There's a lot of...
It's like a 1 to 10 scale,
right.
10 there's, being the highest.
There's a lot of Pepsi bad, right? Which is I'm slurring and I'm fumbling and bumbling. I'm amped up because I caught a big one. I have ADD from... hell, right? And the worst of all, which is the one time the podcast came out on Friday, which we do the podcast, and I'm had so much Pepsi I don't make sense. that's the we call that one the uncle at Thanksgiving, Jay.
There's the level 7.2 where you record a 2-hour one and Steve gets back to you and says, I erased it.
The yeah.
Darn computers.
You guys mess with me. We'll have the airing of grievances podcast, which is a 10.5 on a 10-point scale. Just like, listen, you guys just send a case to my house of the finest opossum Pepsi. Airing of grievances. First one up is Hunter. Do you use split rings and a solid ring leader for your bucktails and spinnerbait, or do you tie directly on or use snaps? Okay, so he's asking about what kind of system do you use for bucktails. I'll tell you this. The cool thing about bucktails, especially if we're talking 10s, 8s, you've got a lot of wire shank right there, right? You got a lot of wire they can't bite through, can't break. You can use a shorter leader. I preferably always use a 12-inch leader. And I'm using a solid ring. That's what I always tie to on any leader that I make or buy. You know, even Jay, the stuff the Musky Shop provides, have crane swivel. So that's a solid ring there. I don't think it really matters on a bucktail, though, really. Whether it's a solid ring or, you know, if you're tying to a solid ring or if you're using a split ring to attach, like sort of the configuration of a bucktail, I mean, it's just a metal thing with spinning blades,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, doesn't Joe Booker use solid wire leaders for bucktails?
He does. He uses about an 8-incher, I believe.
Yeah, he likes to meet or exceed the length of the lure as a general rule of thumb. You know, when it comes to leader length, and you know, I was pretty sure he does that on surface baits and bucktails.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I mean, with a bucktail, don't do this. I'm just talking. The way they hit bucktails most of the time, you could probably tie your line to the friggin' bucktail. You know, it's like most of the time when they hit them, they're not getting anywhere near the leader. You know, there's arguments to be made about your material. I don't think there's a big change in vibration based upon the leader length. But if, you know, if you're throwing 8-inch baits, an 8-inch leader will work, straight wire. I like to use, if I'm fishing bucktails, what I'll say is this. I like to just have a snap swivel on there, right? Or not, it doesn't even have to be a swivel, but just a snap. Because if I'm fishing bucktails, I might fish a single, I might fish a double, I might fish 10s, right? So I might fish 8-9s or 8s or double 10s. Having that quick change is there, unless you're, if you like doing the split ring thing, that's fine. But, you know, that would be my take there. The simplest bucktail setup, I would say, is no swivel, right? Because I don't want them roll over. Remember you did the quick trip, Jay, with Al Frost, and it was so funny. He said it looks like a corn dog coming through the water on a fouled up bucktail.
You know,
having a swivel on there, I think, can allow those things to roll a little bit. I don't like a swivel on a bucktail setup. So I would go preferably solid ring to tie my line to, 8 to 10 to 12 inch solid leader with a snap. That would be my bucktail leader, and that would be about it. The next one, Bob. Hello, I'm relatively new to muskie fishing. Used to catch them in the UP. That's the Upper Peninsula. For you hosers. About 30 years ago, he's fishing them on Suix baits. But I'm in Indiana, and we have a few good musky lakes. I've got a few big baits and some spinners. My question is, what's some good early season baits? I'm assuming a smaller bait is better early. Don't want to break the bank trying all of them, but want to get dialed in. Thanks for the advice. Bob, slammer 7-inch, slammer 5-inch, right? Off the rip. Those Indiana lakes, a lot of that shad based, right? So I would be thinking about a slammer bait. Me and Jay often talk about crane baits. If you're worried about budget, don't buy a crane bait, because a crane bait's good for 2 northern pike sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
So I would go with a slammer. Also too, there's Indiana bodies of water. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. SS shad, smoker shad. And do you guys have the MDs in stock, Jay?
No. Oh. He hasn't shipped anything for about 6 months. He's really behind.
400 years ago.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. I don't know. It's freaking, I'm so sick of this freaking, I don't talk about it on the podcast. I'm not going to acknowledge the real stuff that's in the real world. I'm so sick of supply chain interruptions. I like smoker shads. Okay. The other thing on those kind of bodies, and those are reservoirs, I do like Cisco Kids. And Jay, enlighten me. What is the? Is it a 6-inch Cisco Kid or a 5-inch? Before the Husky.
Yeah, 6 and approximately 9.
Go with the 6-inch. Go with the classic red head, right? They make a red one. Do you guys still have that? I'm looking at one on the wall. It might be from 1973. I'm assuming they make it where it's white on the back, silver on the side with a red head.
Yeah.
That would be the one I would go with, Bob. So the two baits I would add to your repertoire to really get dialed in, if you're a Suic fisherman or you're new to those kind of reservoirs, Slammer 7, Slammer 5, that 6-inch Cisco Kid. What I like about those is that metal lip. The reason I went with the Cisco Kid is this. If you need to achieve some different depths, you can tweak that lip.
Yep. Right? And go with the mid-depth one, the medium diver, they call it. Medium, it's a 600 diver. M.
We're not going to try to get, on those Indiana bodies of water, we're not going to try to get exceptionally deep, right? We're not going to be worried about going too deep until things get hot, and we're not going to fish when it's too hot, but think shallow, think break lines, think points, think weeds, think any major structure there. Like I said, you cannot go wrong. I would buy, what is the one, Jay? It's like the orange belly shad slammer. That's my favorite. I think it's like orange with a blue back and sort of silver sides.
Oh, that's that custom hot Cisco color.
Yeah, I'm about to
get a nice fish on that. Oops, did I just say that out loud?
You did. thanks, jerk face. Just by the way, if you want to give away the house, I just got one on that today. So,
G-Bird's been editing video content.
For what video? For my OnlyFans account. That's what he's been editing.
Musky Shop TV.
Musky Shop TV. Anyway.
Yeah. Nice caller.
Speaking of, I need a couple more of those. I will more on that later.
Okay.
But I like the Cisco Kid. Those would be the ones that are not bank breakers. Because what's a Cisco Kid, Jay? 16 bucks, 17
yeah,
bucks?
Yeah, right in there. Yep.
Slammers, $4.99.
$14.99. 15 and under for those two sizes mentioned.
I'm just being goofy. It's like we should dude. That's it. Musky Shop. You guys, if you don't know, and I'm sorry, I'm tired. If you can't tell, don't care. Okay, podcast is free. You're getting your money's worth.
Anyway, at times, maybe.
At times, maybe. Yeah, you get your money's worth $0 every week because I'm worth $0. Retarded Hillbilly rambles about musky fishing next on the Musky 360 podcast. sorry. Jay.
What were you going to ask?
Here's my thing. Here's my thought.
Okay.
We've been thinking about events for the Musky Shop Bash. July 17th, Minocqua, Wisconsin. You'll pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Saturday.
Thrill as Joe Booker talks about shallow raiders for 7 hours.
You can smell his boat.
You can smell the boat. Dude, that would be a funny... Okay, we need a monster truck intro, apparently. Sorry. We're flying by the seat of our pants. Well, what's the one they always used to have? Gravedigger?
Gravedigger and...
Gravedigger! Joe Booker's Recon! The Undertaker! Uh-huh. Watch Joe Booker jump 73 Ford Pintos in his Recon!
Sorry. Watch Joe Booker backflip his Recon into the pond out back.
Joe Booker stunt jumps over 73 Ford Pintos in the backflip in the musky backflip of death. Oh my god. Can you just see? I'm sorry. It's like come at 2 o'clock for the Aquanauts, or what is the Aquabats from Minocqua? Can you imagine, Jay? It's the is it the Aquabats? What are they called?
Yeah, I don't even know how you know that. You right, know, something like that.
Right. So, like, 2 o'clock, thrilling performance by the Aquabats. At 4 o'clock, Joe Booker attempts the cartwheel of death over 73 Ford Pintos. Like, can you imagine Joe? He's just hammering it over the ramp and does this perfect backflip. It's like the evil Knievel of musky fishing.
No holds barred, that guy is. I'm telling you.
No holds barred. There will be an ambulance on site. You know, it's just like freaking...
Oh, man.
Okay, that's it. Like, next intro is the worst, like, 1970s motocross / friggin' motocross intro. I'm sorry, folks. I'm retarded. My house was full of lead paint. My mom encouraged me to chew on the windowsill. She was hoping I would die. Didn't pan out for her. Anyway, so Parker says, hey, maybe some vids on Suix. Working them and tuning them. I got a pretty pimp article on the app at the 101 section on Suix. Actually have a thing up my sleeve about not having to tune Suix. More on that later. How about that, Jay? Huh?
Huh. Okay.
Titan what? Who?
Hello.
Mike C.
When?
August, huh? Mike C., how much earlier does the open water bite start in Minnesota versus Wisconsin? Ooh. Also, a few years ago, on the day I caught my biggest muskie, we blew up my friend's transmission in a Culver's parking lot, dude.
No way.
Oh, you're going to need to...
Oh, the Culver's.
You're gonna
going
to need
for the cheeseburger.
Whoa, come for the cheeseburger, steak, because you blew up your Silverado.
Oh, man. Boy, that was a bummer, huh?
Remember
okay,
that,
what was
Jay,
his question?
Jay, do you remember the time you blew a tranny in the Culver's parking lot?
I can't remember last time I did that.
Guys, I want you to write in. Tell me how many trannies you've blown in a Culver's.
I didn't know they had Culver's in Minnesota.
Jay, what's the biggest tranny you've ever blown in a Culver's? Diesel? Wow. A Cummins 450? Peter. Well, I can't even answer that. This next guy's name is Peter Beach.
Wait a minute. He had a question.
Oh, God.
He was asking if the open water bite, dude, if the it's next, earlier the next in Minnesota
guy,
or Wisconsin.
I'm dying. The next guy, his name is Peter B. Dragon, which is hilarious. I was reading ahead. When does
I see that.
Next week, if you want to win every bait I own, tell me the story about blowing a tranny in the Culver's parking lot.
Make it good.
I'm so dying. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm like that one.
I'm dying here. I am delusionally tired. All I can think about is Jay blowing a tranny in the Culver's.
All I can think about is Elmer's taking his Ford F-150 out there and doing donuts next to that picnic table where we're filming.
Do you think Elmer's ever blown a tranny at the Culver's?
Maybe. He's a wild man, I tell you.
Elmer, I'm sorry. Oh, find your zen. Find your center.
Deep breath. Deep breath.
I need a paper bag. Uncle Rico knows what I'm talking about.
Uncle
anyway.
Rico.
All right. When does the... Sorry. Composure, Stephen. Composure. When does the open water bite start in Minnesota? First, in Wisconsin. Jay, take this one away. When does the open water bite start in Minnesota versus Wisconsin?
I think he's comparing, you know, big lakes like Vermilion and Cass and Mille Lacs and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, probably a little bit later than most of the smaller lakes around here. But, you know, open water bite, I mean, really 4th of July and beyond, usually something starts to develop pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I would think a little bit later in Minnesota, but not much later because their peak water temps. I mean, we were talking about this. What was last week? It was 15 points of defining a muskie season.
Mm-hmm.
We only had 15. You know, and one of them is the intensely short seasons in the upper Midwest, like, you know, northern Minnesota and northern Wisconsin.
Right.
Everything's condensed and. As 2 weeks go by in the middle of the summer, you could go from stage 7 to stage 8, you know, right. On that list, just like that.
Quickly.
Blink of an eye.
Lickety split.
Lickety split.
It is as fast as blowing a tranny in Culver's parking lot. Peter B. Dragon says, after moving a muskie, whatever time of day it may be, how long do you wait to come back on it, and what do you do? What do you recommend as a follow-up presentation? Same baiter as a change-up. He also says, can't wait for the muskie shop bass to have my new shield rod blessed by the best. I assume you mean Elmer Jensen, who is the best, and he will bless your shield rod. The classic castback is the J.B. Rattler, J.B. Rattler, J.B. Rattler.
Sure.
Or a Lungeon. Any rattle trap's a great throwback. When, however, here's the rule of thumb that I abide by, Jay, I'll let you chime in here in a second. When it comes to a castback, if they didn't taste still, let's say that fish came in, he nipped at it, and he touched the bait, right? 30 minutes, minimum. If he came in on the bait and didn't do anything, I'd give him 10 to 15.
You're saying he tried to eat the bait?
Yeah, you missed him.
You missed him. Wait minimum 30 minutes before you go back.
Minimum.
Really? Usually. Okay.
Now, if you had him hooked and he got off, minimum 30 days, you know.
Yeah, right.
But if he nipped the bait, he tasted steel, something wasn't right there, give him 30 minutes, you can get that fish.
Okay.
But my rule of thumb, if you moved him and he didn't commit, give him 10. If he did, let me say this, backing up saying after the immediate cast back. Okay? Right? So where I'm at, cast back doesn't work that well. Up north, if you do not have a rattle trap or a 500 Booker tail, a MIPS giant killer, a kamikaze chatterbait, something small, something erratic that's going to thump a little bit different. I love a crane bait as a throwback on the deck of your boat. You're fooling yourself, right? If I'm fishing Three Lakes, northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, Canada, I have a cast back lure ready to rock, right? Immediately. He comes in on a Medusa. He turns in. He glides away. I'm going to pick up that bait once I'm done figuring. Where you have a few turns, he doesn't show up. Boom, fire back, right? Pick up that other rod and go. Right? Now, you guys hear me talk about I'm not a multi-rod kind of guy, but in those situations, it's not a bad idea to have at least something laying around, right? Or pull that Medusa off, quickly change it, bam, 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 have that rattle trap out. If nothing happens after a few casts, don't sit there and pound on them. My grandfather used to say, you're educating them. Right? Don't give these things an education. Don't show them everything you got. That is probably, and I love this question because it's probably one of the harder things in musky fishing, is we've gone all day, right? We've beat our brains against the wall and we finally see a 44, 45 inch fish coming. Crap, here it comes. He doesn't hit. A lot of guys will sit there and they will empty the tackle box on that fish.
Further educating the fish and ruining your chances of ever catching him.
He's got a PhD in what you're going to do. Don't educate him. Sometimes you have to have a little patience. Yeah. Sorry. Just a little patience. Anyway. Yeah. Man, the GNR references never stop.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It is too bad. Sometimes you've got to just, oh my goodness, Kenny Rogers, know when to hold them. Know when to fold.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking of particular scenarios. Jay, I'm a mess, dude. I apologize. Jay's like, I put up with this crap once a week. You should be paid far more. Jay is paid to be my friend, folks. He doesn't want to be here. He's paid to be the adult of the show. Anyway, let's say
one comment I have.
One. You get
just
one.
Only one. This is a quick one. Is determining the level of
hotness.
Ooh. Of that fish coming in.
How hot is that musky?
On a 1 to 15 scale.
On a 1 to 10. No, 1 to 10.
You know what I mean?
Is she like a...
Is that thing three feet below the bait and 7 feet in back of it after
here's
you brought
question,
the bait in?
Jay, is she a Minocqua 2 or a New York 9?
Right.
Big difference. Right.
Make a quick determination and then...
I'll tell you what.
Apply what you've learned.
I'll take a Tennessee -5 over a Kentucky 2 any day of the week. Oh, man.
Cody Dalton.
Everything in West Virginia is in negatives. I'm from there. I can say that. What Jay's saying is about gauging the follow. And that's the thing is what I was getting at is like, we're so close to achieving the goal when we finally move to fish that's willing to move and come in and do all this stuff. You've got to take a moment. It is pull off the reef, pull off the weed bed and have a pack of crackers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get on Twitter and look at Twitter for 10 minutes. Sometimes you just got to take a moment to pause. Don't educate these fish. Don't show them everything you got. Okay. Come back with a game plan, and I'm telling you, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of calm will do you a lot of good to go. Let's assess. Let's say the scenario is this. Jay, you move a 48-incher on a fat bastard, right?
Right. It's a big fish. You definitely want to catch it. You definitely want to
right. That's a Wisconsin 50 at that point at 48, right? It's big boy.
Big boy.
Comes in on a fat bastard. You figure mm-hmm. eight. The fish stays for one turn and is gone.
Okay. Came in on a surface right. roar.
You come back real quick. You've got a 500 Booker tail ready to go on another rod. You launch it. Nothing happens. Two cast, be done.
Yeah, right. And okay. that's what I do too. Yep. So what you're saying, general rule of thumb is throw something different. Indifferent meaning if you came up on a surface bait,
throw a bucktail,
something right. different. You know, if he followed on a jerk bait, throw a slow crawling surface bait, you
right,
know,
or a crank.
Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Yeah, and make it a little bit smaller too in the mm-hmm. presentation size. Maybe that'll do it.
Right. And let's say Jay does his cast back and nothing happens. That is when you pull off that spot and you spot lock it, you anchor it, you hold the boat there, whatever you got to do. And you take a moment and you catch your breath and you assess, right? What gauge, what 1 through 10 did that fish come in on, right? Did mm-hmm. you miss him because you screwed up the figure eight? Was he a 10 and you delivered a subpar figure eight and you should have had him, right? Did he come in chomping behind the bait? Did he come in low and slow? Did it come in 4 feet off the bait? Or was it nosing it? You've got to make some decisions right then and there. Okay? So if that fish was way far off the bait, he might be a little negative or neutral, a little bit slower, a little curious. If he missed the bait, maybe we need to jack the speed up so he hits it on the cast. You've got to assess that scenario. The best way to assess a scenario is not hyper. Right? When I'm saying 10 or 15 minutes, it's not for the fish. It's for us, right? It is for you to gather your thoughts and go, what do I need to do? Okay? What do I need to do to make this fish hit? You gave away the ghost today about me now want a slammer. What happened with that fish was I moved it about 30 minutes earlier on a Livingston headhunter, right? Big crawl, not the big one. What's the big Livingston headhunter is like 10 inches. The smaller one's like 7, I think.
Yeah, there's right. three sizes of them, I think.
Well, I was on the smaller end of the things. He came in on that, didn't eat it, came in kind of aggressive, kind of not. I went, okay, what do I need to do? I need to downsize a little bit, but not too much. He was aggressive. So gauging mm-hmm. that following. That fish was kind of hot. He wasn't like losing his mind. So what do I do? Okay, I need something with a wide wobble, right? What are my wide wobble crankbaits that are going to work in that same speed range? Cranebait, slammer quickly come to mind. Okay? And I go, how deep was he? I better grab the crane. Or excuse me, better grab the slammer. So think about what happened. Tweak it out a little bit, downsize a little bit. If they're not hitting on what you just threw, I always like to downsize by a hair. Start with one size down and then go two sizes down. That would be the trick. But be patient. Assess the situation. Get over the musky jitters and pull off. I will shut up. Jay, anything else to add to that nonsense?
No.
Okay.
Man. No. I don't think there's any absolute 100% obvious rule that is going to make that fish go. It's a huge guessing game, and mm-hmm. I think you're spot on. I mean, I totally agree with go with something different and go with something a little bit smaller in overall size, and don't beat a dead horse. I mean, if he doesn't respond, yeah. have to leave, and then, you know, maybe come back at sundown or something like that. Some
majors,
kind of
minors.
Prime time or, mm-hmm. yeah, major. Check the 360 app. Check what the moon's doing.
Check it out. Andrew says, hey, Steve, can you make us a Sorry, God, I'm laughing so hard today. Hey, Steve, can you make us a Musky 360 soundtrack full of instrumental blues and rock sucks tunes that you end the podcast with?
Oh, yeah, just whip that up.
He said, go this ahead, will Steve, be do it. Especially useful to me on the weeks when the podcast falls off the couch and is 2 days late. Thanks. Keep it up. Oh,
man.
Dang. Bringing the heat. Maybe over the winter. We've got a bunch of the tracks we use. Maybe me and Jay and Boog Day can knock it out. Nathan says, Steve, I'm 13 minutes into the podcast. I'm laughing so damn hard. I've been working on the lyrics for another GNR-related songs for musky fishing with my guitar. I'm going to send you. By the way, what's your and Jay's OnlyFans accounts? He said, but on a serious note, I wanted to show my guitar setup. Oh, cool. Hold on. I'm reading on. I'm looking very cool. That is a sick pedal board. Thank you very much. Jeez, Jay. We're cool. We're getting pedal board picks here on the show.
Oh,
now.
I love pedal boards.
All right. I'll say this. I won't share a pedal board pick. I apologize to the Musky Fisherman, but Nathan was cool enough. So my signal chain is Ibanez TS9. It's a 83. Keeley Seafoam plus Keeley Magnetic Echo Full Tone Fat Boost. That's it right there. Anyway, moving on. And that is between a PRS 24, a D Armand, a Strat, or my Tele. Bob says, hey, Steve, really enjoyed the latest episode of the podcast on musky patterns throughout the year. There was a ton of info in there. I was hoping, hold on, I'm looking. Bob has written the Bible, Jay. I'm going to scan
this. Okay, it's a big, okay.
Bob, this is a lofty tome. I know you said that. I'm scanning. He said, but I don't think my questions and observations would really work, or a Q&A. Yeah, it'll work. Okay, he says, I know you've said before that a muskie is a muskie, but I live on the border between Wisconsin and Minnesota. I can attest that, you know, this idea every season. Muskie likes a fish in Minnesota, and, you know, have the upper Mississippi River strain of muskies, Leech Lake strain leechers. Beautiful, robust spotted fish that grow quickly. Across the St. Croix River in Wisconsin, the musky ways to fish are stocked with upper Chippewa River fish, Wisconsin greenies, right? What's interesting to me, these strains appear to behave differently. In the spring after the spawn, the leecher females head almost directly to open water. Hey, you guys that listen from Minnesota asking about the open water thing, take note. Bob's saying they're going to go straight from the spawning beds to open water. Remember that question a little bit ago, Jay? Huh?
Okay. Interesting.
Right. He said the males sit around the shallows for a while, gradually moving out to the break lines as the water warms and they recover, eventually ending up mostly in open water themselves. He says few leechers, blah, 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 blah. So, okay. Leechers love it. I'm sorry, folks. He said.
It's a long question, is what
it is.
At,
it's
right?
Like five, okay. And I appreciate it's a very well written thing. He's basically wanting to know, all right, what are our thoughts between Minnesota fish and Wisconsin fish, right? Okay, he said, you know, he's been with a bunch of people in Wisconsin, he's been with people in Minnesota, and on these different guides in these different areas have different approaches, okay.
Without question, yeah.
So, here's what I'll say is this, Bob, and this is a really cheap answer, and folks, I'm going to tell you. A Lake of the Woods fish is not an Eagle Lake fish. Period. Okay? A Kentucky fish is not a Tennessee fish. A West Virginia fish is not a Virginia fish. You're going to have different scenarios. I understand there are different strains, right? The reason I say a muskie is a muskie is because at certain points, they're going to do similar things. A lot of those developmental things are based upon their surroundings, right? And so those fish are going to do what's advantageous for them as far as temperature and as far as availability of food. Okay? Pete Maina, I love what he said. I say it all the time. Muskies aren't going to be that far from the fridge. I am positive the movements those fish are making are bait-based in some regard. Yes, a Minnesota fish is different than a Wisconsin fish in a lot of regards, okay? You've just got to adapt to your surroundings, so don't overthink it. I mean, you know, this could be a four-hour podcast on Minnesota versus Wisconsin fish, right? But I want to make it sort of a more general thing and say this. A Minnesota fish and a West Virginia fish are both muskies. They're all muskies. They hit musky baits, but they're going to do different things. Okay? Different temperatures, different seasonality. You've got to dial in per body of water. Okay? That's the only thing I'd say. I don't have any, like, great information to be like, here's some amazing statement to make on that. Is I don't take it strain by strain. I take it lake by lake. Okay? Because irregardless, we're all in one place at one time, if that makes any sense. So I can't be worried about what a Wisconsin fish is doing when I'm in the North Woods. Focus on where you're at don't compare the two. Focus on that body of water, and that body of water will tell you where the muskies are at based on forage, water, and wind conditions.
Yeah, I mean, there's idiosyncrasies, you know, right, with fish. You know, if you start talking to or hear some in-depth information from various guides, you know, that right, maybe guide in northern Wisconsin versus some Minnesota guides on some of the big lakes over there, you know, and, you know, if they volunteer some detailed information, you're going to be like, oh, he's, you okay over there?
Yeah, I just knocked the mic over. Sorry.
Oh.
Kill me.
Yeah, I, you know, just that, you know, it's like specific crankbaits, you know, in the middle of the summer over open right, water are deadly, where it might be something that you wouldn't even suspect it could work. You know, like sometimes right, double tens aren't that effective as opposed to downsizing to double eights. They're just, mm-hmm, for some reason, you don't get the response on some of the small lakes around here certain times of the year, and you go over to Minnesota and it's that, that's all they want to eat.
Right.
It's just the way it is.
Right. And you nailed it when you said there's idiosyncratic things. I mean, and I get it. Minnesota guys are sitting there going, our fish are nothing like those Wisconsin fish. That is true. You've just got to apply all the musky tricks to a specific body of water, regardless of strain, you know? And like you said, there's going to be little idiosyncratic things you have to dial in on. I will shut up. Bob, I'll shoot you an email because it's a great, and I appreciate the link to that email. It's wonderful. It's really informative. I will share some thoughts with you. Sean says, I fish the Delaware River and use spot lock a lot. Do you feel that spot lock can scare away fish or affect their behavior? No.
You mean when a trolling motor starts going click, click, wham, wham, you mm-hmm, know, boom, on, off, and moving, and you hear that electronic shift all the time?
I had a trip one day. A guy needed to use a restroom. I probably told this before, and I drove the trolling motor up and about hit a 48.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doesn't seem to bother them in Canada either. You know, if they're... Here's the thing, and I'm sure there's some dude. It's the same thing. It's idiosyncratic. I'm sure there's dudes that are fishing spooky fish on spooky water, right? I've heard, and I've talked to half the clients on the boat, and we've talked about it. They're like, my fish are super spooky. You know, if you're feeling that it's a deterrent, the best way to figure this out is, and I don't think that it is. However, I can be wrong, and I am not too proud to be wrong. The way to determine that is this. Go out and fish your best spots on spot lock and come back through them and fish them with an anchor. There you go. If you have to spot lock, if you like it's drifting so fast you can't really hold without something anchoring you, do it without spot lock and do it with a physical anchor and go, well, when I had the physical anchor out, it wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is,
yeah, and you're talking about a river with current, with high current.
Right, right. I've never fished the Delaware River. It's awesome that a dude that's fishing the Delaware River listens to the podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah. Sean.
But if those fish are spooky, or you assume that they're spooky, you ask the question probably because you think that they are. Go out and try, let's say we try six spots, three with spot lock, three with an anchor. Okay. If you move fish on only anchor spots, then they're spooky. If it's indiscriminate and it doesn't matter, then they're not. You've got to sort of assess that. Again, Jay, this parlays into a lot of things that are musky specific, which are there's idiosyncratic things about certain bodies of water. Obviously, there's different strains. There's different things that you can sort of look at and dial in on. The best way to test that theory is to try it in different methodologies. Try it with spot lock, try it with a physical anchor, and see what the results are. If you're moving fish or hooking up on a physical anchor, I wouldn't spot lock ever again. If it's six, one half dozen, another, it doesn't matter. That's the only way I could test that for your specific body of water. Isaac says, howdy, fellas. I'm just wondering what hooks you use to replace old worn-out cut hooks on a 6-inch depth rater and a 7-inch shallow rater, and also 8-inch depth raters. Several of these lures, three of mine, need some TLC. What hooks should I use to replace these hooks on these JBO baits?
Sounds like maybe a 1-aught size that's a 1/0 on the little guy, mm-hmm. and on the shell rate on the depth rate are probably 3/0. They like short shank hooks.
Mm-hmm.
BMC makes some great ones. 9626BZ.
There you go.
On
that's
the,
it.
And a 3/0 on the
That's why you pay the big bucks on the podcast. That was amazing.
Big bucks?
The big just reckon. Jay bought a Maserati from all his podcast bucks. It was a Maserati Hot Wheels.
A McLaren P1.
Right. It was 99 cents in the toy aisle at Walmart.
Yeah. Well, no, but VMC, mm-hmm. they're affordable. They're really good hooks, and they react really well to being resharpened.
Mm-hmm.
Better than some hooks.
Well, don't you guys sell the the hook kit?
The hook, yeah, that's a right. Yeah, that's a perfect thing to have in the boat. What are they, $20 or $15 or something?
And it's
a little Plano, and we got a sampler of different size hooks and appropriate split rings in there, and everything you need, in one little small Plano box that's maybe 10 inches wide or something like that. You know, you throw that in with your gear, and you've got it all in one spot ready to go. You don't have to buy all these large packs of hooks to just to have the right size when needed, you know.
That'll get you through the season.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my go-to. I mean, if you're fishing recreationally, you got the time, grab one of those packs. I remember listing those when we were doing the website. I was like, they pretty much got everything you need there, period. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, and I appreciate, and I'll tell you this, and I did it today. I had to cut hooks. Cut the friggin' hooks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get on a high horse. Hooks are cheap. Muskies aren't, right? They're a rare commodity. Don't be afraid to cut those hooks. And like you said, Jay, you're not going to get, and God, I'm just a mess tonight, and I apologize. But, you know, a lot of us worry about, if I change this bait, it'll never work again. Ever. It'll never catch a fish, right? I caught a fish today on the Slammer 7-inch. And I took the hooks off a Ernie and put it on there and had another one raging on it. It doesn't matter.
Cool.
Right? Grabbed a little Ernie.
Yeah, just be in the ballpark.
Mm-hmm. It'll change your running depth and things of that nature. But as long as you're in the ballpark, the cool thing is this, and I was ragging Jay about you making the big bucks because you immediately said these are those hooks. I did that. Remember, Jay, I called you about a year ago, and I said, I need hooks for this glide bait and that glide bait. And you were like, bam, 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 bam. These are the hooks they're using. If you're ever wondering what the specific hooks are on a bait, because this is one thing that drives me nuts with bait manufacturers, right? It'll be like they have a website. The website is from GeoCities in 1994, right? And it sucks. And four guys on their pro staff have been dead since 2000. Right.
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Right. And their email does, right.
Sometimes they use what's available. Right. That's why they don't list exactly what they put on there.
You get on their website and you're looking. I've done it a million times. You're like, what's on this bait? And it's like, this is the greatest crankbait ever made. Johnny McCarson from Pewaukee caught a 52 on it. They give you everything except for what you need. What size split rings and what size hooks are on this? That's all I wanted to know. And I'm looking at your website that completely just sucks, right? There's like dancing emojis on the thing. Remember those on the old websites, Jay? There'd be like a pair of like dancing teeth, you know?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You know,
who doesn't
so they got
remember
these,
that?
They got these dancing sprites on there. Guy setting the hook, some boomer in a flat brim hat emoji or whatever the heck it is. But they mm-hmm. won't. They won't. They'll tell you about every pro staffer you've never heard of in your life. Donnie Tomlinson from Gary, Indiana, pro staff. Ricky Medlock from Leonard Skinner only throws Wichita crankbaits. Who cares?
Well, you'd be surprised at the amount of words that come into the store that have little or to no information available for them. Like, you know, something came in recently and Tom goes, yeah, Jay, we got this new bait in. Can you get it on the website? Like, yep, no problem.
Right.
So I start shooting it, and I'm like, okay, description?
Right. What is
this? They don't
have
a website.
Right.
They don't have a website?
Right.
Okay. Did he email you any information on it?
This look, yeah,
no,
this
is, not really.
No, he didn't. This is just a musky bait.
So it's an investigation game. Let's put it that way.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
You know, that's why when I finally started a musky bait company, I was going to name it I Made This. That's it. There's no information, just one bad picture. Usually Jay, and he's good at it, can look at a bait and say that is a VMC so-and-so and so-and-so or a Mustad this or that. You've been doing it long enough. Cop to the musky shop, ask for Jay. He can tell you what hooks are on a bait just by looking at the hooks.
Or Elmer.
Or Elmer.
Or Fred.
Or got to avoid Fred.
Or Tom. Or Tom's really good. Tom knows his hooks. Oh, man.
Call every day and ask for Tom. 30, 40 minutes. Just ask him how you're doing, Tom.
Yep.
No, but you guys know the hooks. I've done that with you where I'm like, sorry, I'm soapboxing, folks. I get so freaking mad about that. What hooks are on this bait?
Yeah.
And there's one guy, I won't name names. I caught a dude that makes a glide bait, and he's like, I don't know.
The guy
called,
that made
like literally called him. His number was on the thing. He's like, I don't know what's on there. I just get them. I'm like, that's like not helpful, dude. Can you go out in the freaking garage and look at the box? Well, I'll go out there. Hold on. Like, come on, put it on your website. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Corey says, Muskie Olympics 2020, possum shot put. That sounds illegal, but fun.
Possum shot put?
Yeah. Nader 2 says, hey, guys, got a question. It's that I promised my womerns. I appreciate you calling her a womerns. Womerns love to be called womerns. I promised my womerns her first muskie this year, but she struggles with some things. Buddy, let me tell you, womern struggles with a lot of things. He said, so I'm planning on working with her, but when I hook a fish and I hand her the rod, should I keep tension on the fish while handing it to her? Or do the judo trick of taking pressure off like you mentioned a while ago and the fish will stop? When I take the pressure off, do I ease off the pressure slowly or immediately or take the pressure off once I feel the fish's hook? I apologize for the long question. It's not that long. I appreciate the question. Meow. Okay. I do this all the time with clients.
Yep.
Put that rod high up in the air with them. You can feel the fish. That's all you got to do. Just not a lot of tension. We're not doubling the rod. I just know the fish is there high up in the air, right? And when they're about to take the rod out of your hand, reel it down and stick it in their hands. Up, 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 high. Your arms are high, right? They're making their way over. Your wife has put down her margarita or her white claw and has put down her Daniel Steele book and is making her way too slowly to the front of the boat to take this muskie that she doesn't want to reel in. And you're like, hey, womerns, I got your fish. And she goes, oh, okay. And she crawls to the front of the boat, you know. Have that rod high with a little bit of tension on it. Reel it down and stick it in her hands, right? One foul sweep, and then you just start saying, reel, reel, reel. One thing I'll do at that point when I'm about to hand it to a client, I'll back the drag off too. And just to go ahead and have that drag backed off. I wouldn't recommend just letting the fish run and just set, right? That's ninja level. I don't want to cost you a fish. Generally, they won't do anything. But if we're in the heat of the moment, let's say you get that fish in an 8 or close to the boat, just back the drag off and let it run a little bit under some high rod. Put that rod way up in the air and keep a little tension on it. That should work for you. Mark says, tips for throwing the tubes.
Tubes.
Tubes. I know they produce, but I can't get bit on them. Any suggestions on working the tubes? Both shallow and heavier weighted tubes. Jay.
Red October.
What's up with the tubes?
I remember the first time I threw a Red October tube.
What'd you do with it?
No, I just remember the first time I threw a
Tell Red me October about tube. It in detail.
Well, it was a 7.5 inch, and
the
you
year
know,
was,
I just
what year
it
was
out.
It? What year was it? 1987.
It wasn't that long ago. Okay. I don't know, Steve.
Well,
who
you
cares?
Said you remember.
Well, I'm asking. This is not a good story. I'm just gonna.
Here I am.
No, I remember.
Here I am
I
on Lake Suckabago.
So I could look at the bait, you know, instead of making a long cast and not knowing how it's going to react to pulls and jerks and all that. So I just flipped it out and I started tapping that thing. And I'm like, wow, this thing's almost walking the dog underwater. Pretty cool.
I'm going to give you a heads up here. Can you bear with me for a second, Jay? Hold on.
Yeah.
talk. Hum a ditty. It'll be 3 seconds. I got to go to the bait wall here.
Tubes are probably one of the, I'd say you could kind of put it in the soft plastic section as a jerk bait and categorize it that way. It's probably one of the most turnaround hot kind of techniques in the last 2 years that I've seen, because
tubes,
we can't keep Red October tubes in stock.
Can't keep them. So,
and they can't make them fast enough. And so when people start buying, when repeat customers come back and, you know, they're buying four or five at a time, it's like, okay, they're catching fish on that. You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell
they're
you,
they're not trying something when the, you know,
right,
when they're buying four or five of the same thing. Yeah. So, they're really versatile, and they come with these different depth models too. It's like there's a shallow, there's a mid, and there's a deep. They all sink, but the sink rates are really exaggerated when you get down to that deep model. I mean, that is a pretty quick sink rate, and it's for working really fast and or just really deep structure.
So what I did, I ran over the bait wall real quick. I have a friend. He's from the Netherlands. His name's Tim. Tim is six.
Hey, Tim.
Tim is friggin' 6 foot seven, Jay. You've seen the video.
Boy.
He makes me look like a small baby. Tim.
He's a good fisherman.
He's a heck of a fisherman. You're going to see him on Muskie Shop TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my friend Tim has been doing this modification. I'll walk you guys through it here. He turned tubes into a bait that I thought that sucked into a stone cold killer. So they make these strip weights that you weight your duck decoys with, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna walk you through this. If you guys, if anybody really wants to see up close picture or anything like that, shoot an email to the app. I'll send you a specific picture. So Tim is taking these duck weights and building them. Basically, these are these 3-inch candy cane shape. If you take these pieces of lead they weight duck decoys with, and you make a little hook out of them, right? And you put a wire, you drill a hole through that for the anchoring point, and a hole through that for the front hook, and put your wire through that for these Red October tubes. That means this thing's weighted in the center, and they run like glide baits, like crazy. And I'm talking not tight. They glide further than hellhounds. They glide further than phantoms. So make a little candy cane shaped little hook weight for the inside of your tubes. Put that in the center with the wire running through it and your other hooking setups. They are amazing. So
that's cool.
And they run fantastically.
And you can run them real fast too.
You can run them fast. You can run them slow, right? If you want that sink rate, that fall off on it, depending on the different weighting. But like I said, I just had to go grab them. It's all the quarter inch wide duck decoy weight strips. And man, it's some of the cooler rigging that I've seen for tubes. And, you know, it's just a, you know, 3-4 inch piece of weighting there. The other thing that we do with those tubes is this. Believe it or not, Jay, there are a lot of wine corks around my house.
Yeah.
Surprised? Huh?
No, I'm not.
I'm not. Take corks and put them inside on your rigging.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I want to take it's a bright sunny day, and I want a white tube that's going to hang in the 3-4 foot zone. Right? Bucktail shank piece of wire. Always have some bucktail wire on the boat, by the way, guys. A, I've got to rebuild a bucktail because I just got hit by a fish. Right? Let's say I'm throwing my new 8-9 stagger or a spanky or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And a fish wallops it, and it's the first 2 hours of the day. Now I have no bait. Have a vice grips pliers on the boat and have some bucktail wire. Muskie Shop sells bucktail wire, I believe. Yes. Uh-huh.
Of course. Tons of it.
Tons of it. You could build the Eiffel Tower of bucktails from what they have at the Muskie Shop. Have a pack of it. Have some extra around. I'll run into bites where I will take, and I'll keep some corks in, or you can use sinkers, bobbers, whatever it is, and have a rig built out for a tube that is suspending. They are ridiculous. It's like a suspending glide bait at that point.
So how are you keeping the cork in the body? You just shove it in the body, and I mean, with tension, they're about the...
No. What I'm saying is this, is when I build a suspending tube, right, uh-huh, I will take a bucktail shank, and you make your little arm for the head hook, if you will, And so you've made your line attachment and you bend it out in a little arm for the front hook. And now you've got this bucktail wire. Slide the 3-4 wine corks up that thing that are inside the body. And then put your back hook together. That's why I'm saying have raw bucktail wire available on the boat. So if you need to augment, you can change it on the fly. You can make it in 4 minutes.
Yeah, cool.
You know, a pair of split ring pliers, vice grip, and some bucktail wire, and you can get tubes that suspend like crazy. Negative, neutral, buoyant. You know, you're throwing them at a reef, and you go, man, I think these fish are at 5-6 feet. How much cork is that going to take? I've done it too, where I'll take a quick strike bobber and start cutting it up and shoving it in there, whatever it takes, right? But having the wire on board, the thing I like about tubes is they're very versatile in the sense of what you can do with them. So like Jay was saying, you can get them super heavyweight and just get them down there at the bottom, or you can get them suspend. It's all about how you rig them. Like I said, my friend Tim's got them, these rigs with the duck weights where this thing just glides like crazy. So it becomes a matter of what you want to do with the tube and focusing in on that. Have bucktail wire on there. Be versatile. Be set up. Comes back to, we were talking about that friggin' hook setup, right? Have that hook box available. So if you want to build a rig for a tube, you got it right then and there. Bam. Maybe I should do a video on it. I will try. Jay, I've been up forever. We got two more here, right?
Sure. Okay.
Lance says, I need a Musky Boys shop. I need a Musky Boys t-shirt or hoodie in my life. Make this happen. He said, I now randomly yell Cody Dalton in my house, and my kids say, Dad, shut up. Thanks for the podcast.
Oh. Make this happen. I now randomly shout Cody Dalton in the house. I'm just mentally picturing as the kids are like, Dad, shut up.
Shut up, Dad. He's like, do your homework.
No idea why he's doing it, but it's a compulsion.
Do your homework. Cody Dalton.
That is funny. Funny.
Kid hits a home run in T-ball. Cody Dalton. Wife's wearing that spicy outfit, and he gets Cody Dalton. Isaiah says, oh, and he's from the mean waters of Minnesota. We got the meanest musky fisherman from Minnesota. It says, love the podcast and the new song from the Musky Shop Boys. You're welcome. Thank you. Musky Shop Boys live concert at the Musky Shop Bash. Elmer Jensen just rocking out with his Glock out. He says, I have a good combo for bucktails and topwater, and a good combo for rubber, but I'm wondering what rod you guys would recommend for gliders and smaller twitch baits and such. I'm going to jump in and say this. 9-foot heavy Musky Shop shield rod is the only rod that you need, period. You could do it all. Jay, as the purveyor of rods, and you know a lot more about rods than I as far as the different brands, if a guy did want to have multiple rods, what is a good glider or small twitch bait rod?
Well, first off, those 9-foot heavy shield rods, those are going to be gone soon. Just let everybody know.
You better buy them now.
They're not going to last long, and it's going to be, I think, sometime in September before we get restocked on them. So, yep, season will be drawing to a close before we can get more in. That's the way things are this year. But
yeah,
you're asking as a supplemental rod to a 9-foot heavy?
Well, no, he said for gliders and small twitch, which I'm thinking what's that St. Croix downsizer?
Yeah, I mean, I'd go a little shorter than that, something that you can, you know, work with the downward taps, you know.
Tell him 6-foot 6 St. Croix premieres. I have about 100 of them here at the house. I'll sell. Okay, got dad's on
garage sale.
Like, yeah, we're about to start everything. Be like, hey, I want to throw topwater. Call Steve. He's got a 6-foot 6 St. Croix premiere, big rubber, 6-foot 6 St. Croix premiere. Jeez. Call now.
I got a few too.
Huh?
I got a few too that I'm not using. I so can build, I'm with you on that one.
I could build a small shed out of them, Jay. But now, what are some like brands? What's the different price points on that sort of that small glider twitch bait rod stuff?
Get into an 8-8.5 footer, you know, Akuma, St. Croix, you know, anywhere from 120 to, you know, 250. Mm-hmm. Everything's in that
What is
kind of that general range until you get into those real high end St. Croix. Some of those are you know, top $300, obviously.
Well, yeah,
but
if you need a rod to match your Ranger, what's the deal on that? What Akuma is it, like an 8.6 or is what's the deal on that, dude?
Yeah, 8.6. Yeah, 8.6 heavy would be a good one if you want a light rod for twitching.
Note for anyone listening, he just said an 8.6 heavy. Akuma's rods run way lighter.
Way lighter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're heavy as like a medium heavy, and pretty much anybody else's, you know, lineup. So that'd be a good choice.
Well, they got to be different.
Especially economy priced.
Yeah. Akuma's got to throw it in there. Like, oh, we're just going to be different than everybody else. If I'm looking for tactic specific rods, right, which is a rarity for me, I am budget minded because it's not going to be the rod I'm throwing all day long.
Yeah.
Who knows what his budget is? If you go up to, like I said, Booker throws that, was it an 8.6 or 9 foot downsizer from St. Croix, I believe. What do they got?
Yeah, they make both. Yeah, they got three lengths and downsizers.
It's like the legend
or a Premier 8 foot medium heavy. Just got some of those in yesterday.
I think they were on back order
since last November.
Jeez.
That's how long it took to get them in.
My dude,
I think we got eight of them in, so it's like,
get them while you can.
Good choice. You know, $200, $220 or something like that.
I'm going to say this again.
Good rod.
I bore you to tears, but dudes, I'm telling you, like, when muskie season opens and everybody goes, oh, it's muskie season. Not you dudes that listen to the podcast and dudettes and Canadians, because they're a third gender. Dudes, dudettes, Canadians. Don't cry in your Cheerios if you can't get gear if you don't get it now. And that's not to try to get you to buy stuff. That is like a warning from your friend that knows what's going on. Jay, you keep alluding to it, and I'm just going to come out and just flatly say it. If you need it now, if you need it for the season, I should say, get it now.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon they're going to be selling freaking power handles on spools of Power Pro as reels.
Yeah, rods and reels especially.
Rods and reels.
Certain rod brands that, I mean, there's certain lure brands that are going to be bad, you know.
Yeah.
But the majority of them are okay right now. But rods and reels especially, it's going to be a tough summer.
Right. Just get it. If you need it, get it now. You can get it usually at a decent price now. And like Jay was saying, reels. I cannot tell you, if you need a freaking reel, get it yesterday.
Yeah, Shimano is so behind. It's just not
right.
Cool.
And it is what it is. It's supply. Mm-hmm. There's a litany of supply chain issues, this, that, and the other. So if you're on the fence, if you want a shield rod, if you want an Elmer Blessing, get your shield rod now. Like Jay said, once that batch is gone, they're gone for a minute. You know, you just got those new, was it the Pro Rex Daiwa, right?
Yeah.
How many
promising reel.
How many of those showed up? Four?
No, I was printing invoices today. We got three different invoices from these companies. These big companies don't care about shipping costs. They just ship in fragments all the time. So it's like three different Daiwa invoices came in an hour's time, you know, that each of them had like 15 reels on it, and a pack of handles and, you know, and some spinning rods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've been trying to, you alluded to the, you know, the Walmart situation a few weeks ago, I think, where you went to a Walmart near you.
Oh, I thought you meant the Walmart
in the fishing section.
I thought you meant the Walmart, the Walmart situation where Johnny Boy, AKA the Mick, got busted eating mayonnaise packages.
Update. Johnny Boy, AKA the Mick, returns to work Tuesday.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, give him a call.
Here's the this week's contest. If you want to wear in Junior's Inlines, right, the best person to call and talk to Johnny Boy, AKA the Mick. So call the Muskie Shop. Have a conversation with Johnny Boy, AKA the Mick.
Yep.
Ask him about, just call him and be like, listen, can I speak with Johnny Boy, AKA
the Mick? How was Florida? How was bass fishing in Florida?
How was Florida? Winter? If you can set through the answer, you win a Junior's Inline. Well, you know, those Florida bass are different.
I was reefing on this hog. Those guys over there, they couldn't believe it. Berkeley Power Bait Out Fishing Live Bait 2-1.
You should have seen
their faces on.
Jay, this is the Inside Joke Podcast. And then reefing on this hog.
It's not inside joke, because if you follow, you know, some of our videos over the last year, you know, Johnny Boy's always as big a part as I can make him, in the videos, you know, because he's so funny. You know?
Call Johnny Boy the Mick at the Muskie Shop if you want to win in Junior's Inlines. Tell us all about how your combo went. Jay, I've got to go to bed because I got a guide in the morning for the millionth time, all right?
Yep.
So, folks, I hope we answered the questions. I'm sorry I'm an idiot. I will be awake more next week. Jay, say goodbye.
Thanks, guys.
Later.
Have a good night.